From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Guy Shiraki, how you doing this Friday morning?
Doing very well. I'm looking forward. I'm joining the coaching staff for a new group of girls. This is my sixth time through. So 10 and 11-year-olds, we play our first games on Sunday, and looking to get to know this group of girls and try not to mess up their careers too much.
That's just it. Well, Sunday is going to be the night. It's the better day weather-wise. You have beautiful weather, so you get that going for you, which is nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
So lately you're writing about fighting over stadiums. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, the long story short, and I don't, you know, sometimes when you talk about your family, you try to remain sort of generic. But we were in Ocean City, and one of my nieces said to me, "Hey, Uncle Guy, what do you think about this stadium, the Sixers, and their plans?" And I paused, and then I paused, and we walked another block, and I finally looked at her, and I said, "I don't really know, because I don't really think about that stuff anymore." and then it caused me to write about it, because I thought, you know, she was being nice, and she knows I talk about these things with you and others. And I said, just, you know, in the scheme of things, it is important if you live in Center City. It's important if you live in Chinatown. It's important if you're a Sixers fan. I get all that. Don't misunderstand me. But, like, the things that you're talking about every day, I mean, you try to balance every day what's going on in a local community, yet at the same time realizing there's a national presidential race and there's bigger issues happening in the world with anti-Semitism and everything. And that's what I ultimately said there. I said, look, with all that's going on in the world, I just don't have the bandwidth anymore to really think and digest those things. Mm-hmm. But it also, Dawn, reminded me of what I saw earlier in the week, which was, you know, this idea of Republicans for Harris and Republican leaders. And I always laugh because the Republican leaders they always find never really campaign for Republicans. They never vote for Republicans, but somehow they're self-identified Republicans leader. But one of them said, we just need to support Harris, get her elected, and then we can go back to debating tax policy again in this country. And I thought, you know, BS. There is no way that a Harris victory takes us back to the good old days of debating stadiums and tax policy, because we're not debating tax policy. The fights in Washington over the economy are not about whether we should have a 30% tax rate or a 40%. We're having a debate over whether socialism is better than capitalism. We're having a debate as to whether the government is going to shut down Elon Musk's business and take away the First Amendment. Who has the time to debate whether the tax rate should be 28, 29, or 30%? We're on to much bigger issues. And to me, the way my mind worked, it all crystallized. This is, we are fighting about major things that are life-altering, and the smaller things do get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, but I just wonder, I do wonder, Guy Shiraki, if in truth, you know, if in truth the fact that the people who will decide this next election, a sliver of Americans, what issue or issues are they looking at? And where are they getting their information from? Unfortunately, a lot of them get their information from social media, or maybe they're even influenced by these commercials or the media that has bias by omission and fails to report in a truthful way, to report on the platform, the policies that matter most. And it's not about abortion, even though they're making it about abortion and women's reproductive rights. But the truth is they're not, I don't see them really reporting on the policies that do define our society. And it's just like this. If you have lower fuel prices, that fuels the economy. If you have higher fuel prices, everybody pays more for everything because you have to deliver everything, right? Think about the Amazon vehicles that are in your neighborhood. How did they get there? So the price of everything is way up through the roof, everything. And recently, and I'll just give you an example, group of moms, football moms, because that's my life right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're like, wow, you know, we had to run and get more hamburger, you know, for the hamburger patties or whatever for the cookout and or the tailgate or whatever it is. And I'm like, wow, that's gone up. We used to only pay this amount per person. Now we're paying double that. And one of the moms who's probably watching us right now on YouTube and listening, Jen, goes, well, you know, everything costs more. And I looked at her like, don't you dare say Bidenomics because you're going to cause World War III. She didn't go there. She didn't get political. She just said, well, you know, everything's supersized. Everything's costing more nowadays. And they went, oh, yeah. But she was like biting her tongue not to say Bidenomics. And so two questions. Number one, do we as conservatives, are we failing each other and even our neighbors at the risk of being, quote unquote, impolite? Because we've been put in our place. Are we failing everybody to not go there and say it, number one? And number two, as far as people just not thinking about that, they're not connecting the simple dots, guy. They're not saying, hey, this administration could make a difference, but they're not.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, look, first, to me, Dawn, I mean, you touched on very well. You've woven together the major issue of the economy, the major issue of inflation, and then brought it local, right? The tailgates cost more. Family dinners cost more. Going to McDonald's is now like taking your family out to eat. You almost, no disrespect, you feel like you should put on a jacket and tie to go to McDonald's, because if a family of four goes to McDonald's, it, you know, could be almost $100. You expect, you know, waiter service and a valet, right? Because of it, right? So you've brought them together. Look, to the second point first, to me, I have shared on social media, on the radio, and talked to people on the campaign. To me, this issue, this race is this. Kamala Harris is running for reelection. She can reinvent herself. She can be joyful. She can talk about what she's going to do, what she's going to do on inflation, what she's going to do on the border, what she's going to do for the high price of hamburger buns, what she's going to do. And to which, I this football season, flag on the play. You are in office now. To me, the biggest service that conservatives and honest voters can have is this. She is running for reelection. Don't pretend that this is two brand new candidates. This is the Trump economy versus the Biden-Harris economy. The Trump Middle East versus the Biden Middle East. The Trump border versus the Biden-Harris border. She is not the governor of Minnesota or some other state that just floated in here. I don't know why I picked Minnesota, why that popped in my mind. But she's not this person that popped in. This race is a reelection campaign. Does she deserve four more years? And when she dares to say, when I win, I'm gonna, as many have pointed out, you among others say, if you really have the answer, do it now. Mm-hmm. If you really could make grocery bills lower, do it now. If you could really return gasoline to being $2 a gallon, do it now. Don't make us wait till February when you take, if you really have the solution, do it now. So I think both of those issues, you asked those two questions, I think we tie them together. And I think conservatives could say, without any anger, we don't have to get into she's a socialist or she's taking her orders from the World Economic Forum. I think it's just practical. You talk to the folks at a tailgate or talk to the folks at a Wawa and you say, look, she's running for reelection. Does she deserve it? This is a job interview. In 4 years, by her own admission, things have gone up 50 to 100% more. We now know with the jobs report that less Americans are working full time. More are working part-time. We know crime is up in the city. We know the border is a nightmare. Not my words, John Fetterman. John Fetterman says a Pittsburgh worth of people come into this country every month. Does she deserve re-election? And that's not being negative. That's not being hateful. And we can even say it joyfully. Gosh, it's a job interview. Would you rehire her? And that's the way I think we have to frame it to our friends and neighbors. Would you rehire her? Does she deserve re-election?
Yeah, and the other piece of it, and I know our friend Beth Ann Rossica and your fellow writer in Broad and Liberty, I've talked to her about this, the issue of Department of the cooperation of so-called sanctuary counties who won't admit, I guess, that they're sanctuary counties. But in Chester County, you know, I have relatives. We talk about Cavalcante. That was, what, a year ago, that crazy search and the kids, it affected their schooling, and it was a hot mess. And so you think about that, and to me, it's an issue that is not in the headlines enough. It's not covered enough. But I wonder if that's that's one way to say this is locally and nationally an administration that not only is letting those individuals come here, and they're not what we were told. We were told initially, well, you're racist if you don't want people from 100 other nations to come in because they're mommies and daddies and babies who are looking for a better life. But that's not what this is. Look at the crime blotter, the arrest blotter, where you are in Chester County. Just look at it. Just look at it and read it through. I guarantee you some of those individuals, they're not saying whether they were born in America or not, but I guarantee you, because my law enforcement sources say they don't speak English and they're not from this country, et cetera, et cetera. But it's something that I think would resonate in places like the suburbs, the collar counties. But the problem is it's the big lie that we're all living. And how do you break through with that?
Yeah, so I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think all of these issues, all of these challenges can't be discussed as philosophy. This isn't a battle versus socialism versus capitalism, although it is. It isn't a battle about criminal justice and what works and what it is about those things, right? It is about hamburger butts. It is about electricity bills, and it is about folks like Cavalcante. Why? Because one group of people, namely the Democrats, by and large have decided that they're going to challenge every piece of common sense and practical things that have worked. We were beginning to secure the border, and they decided to stop. We were fighting crime by hiring more police officers and giving them the training they needed, and crime rates were beginning to come down. People were feeling safer. My wife and I were going to eat on Passyunk Avenue, not Lancaster Avenue, and then they decided to change it. And that's what I said all through this fiasco when I was getting warnings on my phone not to go outside, mm-hmm. when my neighbors in Phoenixville were told to lock their doors and shelter in place.
Yes.
It's not because, oops, these things happen. It's these things happen when you don't prioritize law enforcement. These things happen when you tell the oil industry you're going to shut them down. These things happen when you say we're going to get rid of gas-powered cars. Their policy decisions that defy common sense have practical impact. So I agree with you. You, in my opinion, you are on the right path. This is not about philosophies, ideologies, or parties. This is about our lives. If you value safety and you want less escaped criminals, if you want to go back to being able to shop in Center City and go see the light show at Christmas time, if you want to be able to afford your groceries, there are two paths. Kamala Harris has been part of the group that has made things worse, that she deserved to be reelected. And Donald Trump, whatever you think of him, gas was cheaper, groceries were cheaper, and you weren't afraid to go into Center City, Philadelphia, and go see the light show. And I agree. See, to me, you've hit on it. It is not about party. It is not about ideology. It's about practical. Our side should deal in the practical.
Yes.
Because the practical reality is they're pushing an ideology, and it's an ideology that has failed. We're pushing common sense and practice. We want you to be able to go shopping, tailgate with your family, go out to eat with your family, go to softball games with your family, and not have your community be unsafe and not have a Pittsburgh worth of people coming in that we don't know who they are. And that's the critical part. How dare the left have turned this into immigration or not? As I always say, you know, I've said on your show, you can go check the logs online at the Mayflower. The Cherokees were not on the Mayflower, right? We were not there. I am the grandson of immigrants, but I'm the grandson of people who went through a process and who kissed the ground when they came here.
Yeah.
Not a group of people who snuck in and said, by the way, you're doing it all wrong. By the way, America isn't perfect. By the way, no. We welcome everybody, the tired and huddled masses yearning to be free, yearning to make their kids better than they've had it.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are always welcome in Chester County. They're always welcome in my neighborhood. The people who come here to take advantage of us, who don't want to be part of the American dream, who don't want to participate, two visions. In Donald Trump's America, plenty of legal immigrants, thousands of them came here. Plenty of legal immigrants came here. They were welcomed and embraced. We can't have people come in here by the tens of thousands or millions and say, we'll figure it out later. It's wrong to those people. It's wrong to us. If we stick to the practical and remind everybody she's running for re-election to be able to do this for four more years, yes, we win.
Amen. Guy Shiraki, thank you so much for being here today. Have a beautiful weekend and good luck on Sunday as you start your next coaching venture. Thanks, Guy.
Thanks again, Dawn. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.